Open your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to focus in on verse 24 this morning as we prepare our hearts and minds to receive the Lord's Supper this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24 says, "And when he had given thanks and broke, broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" The greatest privilege ever given to a human being is that of participation in, taking part in, sharing in the body of Christ. It is the greatest privilege of any human being. So what do we mean when we use the term body of Christ? Well, we believe that there is, and keep in mind, we've just sung some of these truths that I'm going to cover in the songs that we sang this morning. Those songs were not arbitrary. They're picked on purpose every Sunday morning, and this morning's no exception. We don't just hear the word preached. We sing the word in the songs that we sing. So you've heard these truths already this morning. We believe that there is one true living God. We believe that God has eternally existed in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Yet these are not three gods, but three persons who are one in substance, one in essence, one in purpose, one God. This is beyond our ability to fully comprehend. People are always trying to explain the Trinity, saying that, well, we have our own Trinity. You know, we have body, soul, and spirit. Not the same thing. Because your body isn't your soul, and your soul isn't your spirit, and your spirit isn't your body, etc. But God, Jesus is all God, and the Father is all God, and the Holy Spirit is all God. And yet they are distinct persons. Beyond our ability to fully comprehend. And that is a good thing. If you have trouble understanding some of the things about God that you read about in the Bible, that's good. Because a God that we can fully comprehend isn't much of a God and is probably a God that we made up in our own minds. God is beyond you and me. He is greater than we are. When we question, God, why would you let that happen? We need to ask that question remembering that God has a holy and righteous purpose for whatever it was that happened, and we need to trust him in that. Not that we don't ask God why. We need to remember that God is greater than us, and we might not know the why in this life. The one true living God is our creator, he is our sustainer, and he is far beyond our finite minds. However, we believe by faith what we are taught in the written word of God. Jesus, born of a virgin, eternally existed before his physical birth because he is God. So God came to this earth and took on human flesh. We sing songs about that. Mary looking at her little baby and looking at those little hands and looking at that little baby face, and she's looking at the face of God. He became a man, and therefore when we speak of the body of Christ, we can actually be speaking of his physical human body. He still possesses that body because after he died for our sins on the cross, he rose again. Amen? He rose again physically. He is alive bodily. His disciples saw him ascend into heaven. with the promise that he would return. But how is it that you and I can participate or take part in his body? If Jesus is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, then how do we share in his body? Well, let's start with the hard one. John chapter 6 and verse 54, Jesus said to the crowds, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And if we attempt to understand that statement by itself in a purely physical way, we are offended, are we not? It seems disgusting, the idea of eating another person or drinking their blood. Many who heard Jesus say that on that day turned and walked away from him because of those words. But his close disciples, they stayed with him. And he said, "Are you going to leave too?" And they said, "Where will we go? You have the words of eternal life." And Jesus' reply to them is, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life." So as we examine God's word, we understand that Jesus is not speaking of participating in his body by literally eating him. He is speaking of participation in a spiritual sense. This bread that we will eat in a few minutes symbolizes Jesus' body that was given on the cross as a payment for our sin. When we eat this bread, we are symbolizing participation in his body. But what body is it that you and I participate in? Well, turn a page over from 1 Corinthians 11 to 1 Corinthians 12. Probably a page over. It might be on the same page in your Bible. Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I will begin in verse 12 and read down through verse 22. "For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' it is not for that reason any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' or again, the head can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable." So he is comparing the church to the human body. The body of Christ on this earth is comprised of all true believers in Jesus Christ. All those who have been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just you and me sitting here in this room, not just all the Baptist churches around, but everyone who has truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ is a part of the one body. This is a spiritual body, but it's a very real body. How do we know that it's real? Well, because it is made visible in the local church. When you and I come together on a Sunday morning and we join together in worship, we are making visible what is a constant reality. You and I are always a part of the body of Christ as believers. You and I are always to be going about doing the work of God for his glory, doing all of your work for the glory of God, whatever it is you might do. Even when you sit down to eat and drink, do all to the glory of God. But we come together as a local church to make visible that body, just as we are doing right now, this morning. And so many others who are a part of the body of Christ are doing that on a Sunday morning as well, all around the world. It is this body to which we refer when we say that we are participating in the body of Christ. For you and me, when we say I'm participating in the body of Christ, we're talking about First Baptist Church. We're participating in this body. And we might even participate in the body in a broader sense when we get together with other believers from other churches and do things together with them in Jesus' name. So when you eat this bread, you are symbolizing your participation in the body of Christ, which is made up of all true believers. So our text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, suggests three things. These things are appropriation, assimilation, and participation. Sorry, I couldn't completely alliterate. I only got two out of the three for alliteration. But let's look at appropriation first. Appropriation is to take something for one's self. There are several words in the Greek language, all with different shades of meaning, that are translated take in English. One of the words is a command, take, and it involves the exercise of the will. This word is kriteo. It means to lay hold on or to take for oneself. This is a word that is used in the very last message of the Bible. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, it says, "And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely." This is the word kriteo. Lay hold on and take for yourself. Take the water of life freely. Salvation is a free gift. It's being offered by God according to his grace. Romans chapter 10 tells us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Does that leave anybody out? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We have that promise. There's no one that can call out and say, I want to be saved. I believe in Jesus, and he turns his back on them. That will never happen. We must appropriate the body of Christ. We must take. But we're not taking something without permission. That's not what that word in Revelation means. It doesn't mean that we're taking it without permission. We're taking it because it has been offered to us. Look there at verse 24. When he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is for you." We are taking something that has been offered to us. That means we're receiving. Now, in some Greek manuscripts, the words take, eat are in verse 24. And so in some English translations, you'll see, take, eat, this is my body. Some of the manuscripts, those words are not there. One of those differences that occasionally happens with the Greek manuscripts. But if we were to look at that Greek word that is sometimes found there in take, eat, this is my body, that is a different kind of take. That is the word lambano, and it means to receive. We are offered the body of Christ. He is offering himself to us for our salvation, but we must receive him. The offer is laid before you, and every one of us is called upon to receive. We have a second word, and that word is assimilation. Look at verse 26. Jesus says, therefore, well, he's Paul telling us what Jesus said, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Assimilation. For as often as you eat, Eating is incorporating into one's self, right? When we eat this bread, we are symbolically saying that we have taken Christ into ourselves. He is our own. When you eat physical food, I think we all do that, right? When you eat physical food, guess what happens? That food becomes a part of your body. Your digestive system assimilates the nutrients in the food, so those nutrients become parts of the cells throughout your body. Now, there are some other parts sometimes of food that also become parts of our body that we wish wouldn't, but the fact remains when you eat, your body assimilates things from that food. It becomes a part of you, and so we have a term for that. You are what you eat. That is true spiritually as well. As we study the Word of God, the Holy Spirit takes the Word and assimilates it into our inmost being. What should be happening as we ingest the Word of God is that we become more Christ-like. We shouldn't just be coming on a Sunday morning to hear preaching and say, well, that was nice, and then we go our way and forget what the preacher said. We're supposed to be hearing the Word of God proclaimed so that we can take it in. To use the food analogy, I'm kind of a chef, and I spend my week working on preparing a dish so that on Sunday morning I can serve that dish to you so that you can eat that dish and hopefully enjoy it and appreciate it, and it becomes a part of who you are. I personally like that analogy because I like to cook. So. I think you have spoken for everyone that we all like to eat. We ought to become more Christ-like then. If we are taking in the Word of God, it ought to be changing us. It ought to be forming us so that we are more like Him. We appropriate Christ. We take Him by receiving the truth of God's Word. We assimilate Christ, the living Word, by eating, figuratively, the written Word. And as this happens, then, we come to the third part. We picture this as we eat this bread, all of this. This third part is participation. In other words, identification with Christ. We have another ordinance, by the way, where this happens, and that is baptism. When you are baptized, you are picturing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you are testifying in that baptism, I am identifying myself with Jesus Christ. There's all kinds of things that we can make our identity. You can make your job your identity. You can make your education your identity. Some people make their sexuality their identity. But all of those things melt away when we come to Christ and our identity becomes Christ Himself. And we do that once in baptism, but we do it over and over and over again together as a body when we partake of the bread and the cup. We are constantly and repeatedly saying, my participation, my identity is Christ. As we become more like Christ through our understanding and obeying the Word, we identify more and more with Him. Others will identify us with Him when we become more like Him. That's important, I think. Even right now, in this day that we live here as American Christians, folks, whether you like it or not, I'm going to tell you, you ought to be a Christian first and then an American, not an American Christian. You ought to be a Christian who happens to be an American. And we shouldn't be forming Christ to look like us or our idea of what we think he wants us to be, we ought to be forming to look like Christ, according to his word, so that others can identify Christ when they see you and me. Our participation in the body of Christ is not something that we can hide. If we are truly taking and eating, it will be evident to others. Like I've said in past weeks, we ought to be such people that others look at us and say, what is it about you that makes you different? What is it about you that makes you you? I want to know because I want to be like you. And we point them to Christ so they're not like us. We want them to be like Christ. Too many Christians try to look different from the world, but they act just like the world. Participating in the body of Christ means being different from the world, but that's not a matter of dressing different. It's not a matter of trying to stand out from the world through mere outward appearance. We are to be different from the world in our inmost attitude. We are to be different from the world in how we live and how we love. We are to be Christ-like. That's what the name Christian means. It means little Christs. The Apostle Peter explained this truth in his first letter when he wrote this. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, he says, "Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and wearing of gold, jewelry, and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight." Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't try to look nice. It's okay to look nice. But that should not be what defines us as Christians. What defines you as a follower of Jesus Christ is your attitude and your behavior. It is your commitment to the great commandments. What are those great commandments? We know them. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. When we participate in the body of Christ, we demonstrate our love for God by loving each other. So as we take these elements this morning, we are doing more than merely remembering that Jesus died for our sins. We are participating with him in everything that he is and everything that he has done. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you." We are showing in this communion, in this Lord's Supper, that we have taken the body of Christ into our own. The Holy Spirit lives inside. We belong to the Father. We have also been placed into the body of Christ, and we are one body and yet members in particular. So as we participate in the Lord's Supper together, remember that you are what you eat. Jesus said, "This is my body," and if you have received Jesus Christ, then you participate in who he is. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Alone with God in quiet peace, from earthly cares I find release. New strength I borrow for each day, as there with God I stop to pray. Alone with God my sins confessed, he speaks in mercy, I am blessed. I know the kiss of pardon free, I talk to God, he talks to me. Alone with God my vision's clear, I see my guilt, the wasted years. I plead for grace to walk his way. I live for him from day to day. Alone with God, no sin between, his lovely face so plainly seen. My guilt all gone, my heart at rest. With Christ my Lord, my soul is blessed. Lord, keep my life alone for thee, from sin and self, Lord, set me free. And when no more this earth I trod, they'll say he walked alone with God. Father in heaven, I thank you for this time that we could examine this portion of your word, to examine what it means to be a part of your body. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, to give his body, to shed his blood, that we might be adopted as sons and daughters, so that we can call you Father. Lord, prepare each and every one of our hearts and our minds now, that we might partake of the bread and the cup in a worthy manner, not by our own worthiness, but by the worthiness of Jesus Christ alone, who purchased us, redeemed us, and has made us whole for your glory. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.